Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Fredericksburg Area Museum, our focus this morning, and specifically Dr. Gayla Sims is here, the curator of African American history and special projects. Dr. Sims, great to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, and happy Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth. It's what a great day to have you in, because we're gonna talk about that. But you've been here what, almost a year, and I'm embarrassed to say this shouldn't be the first time you were here, but welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Talk a little bit about yourself, because I know you came from Texas, and I don't know much else.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Southern California, but I had been living in Texas for 11 years. I finished up my PhD at the University of Texas at Austin last year, and so that's where I came from. I was in Texas.
And so you then have been at the Fredericksburg Area Museum since around August 1st, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about the museum as we go along, but what a great place with a lot of history. And I always say that if you have people from out of town, that ought to be one of the first places you go to when you're taking them around town, just because it gives you just a sense of what this place is all about.
Yeah, I think, when you're coming from out of town, coming to the museum and getting a real overview of the history of the place that you're walking around and seeing people is so important. And I also think we have some really interesting stories, so it's a fun time too, as well as educational.
And as we go along this morning, we'll talk about it, because you have really you've been able to dig up a lot of great stories, and you continue to find things, and you continue the museum does a great job of educating us.
It does.
About a whole lot of things.
It does, and we have an amazing team. We have an amazing educator, Teresa Kramer, who does so much to bring in younger folks, and mm-hmm. We're trying to make sure that we're reaching people who are young and old and everyone in between.
And you could become a member, and you can help support the museum, famva.org, with all kinds of information.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's really lovely when people become members, because they get to do kind of behind-the-scenes events, and they get to know the staff a little bit better. They get to know the museum even better than, people who are just coming in now and then.
And there are really cool programs. I mean, every month there's something going on, and something different. Exhibits get changed out frequently, and just a lot going on at the Fredericksburg Area Museum.
Yeah, definitely. We have a lot of great public programming. We have lectures, we have tours, we have our amazing summer concert series, Sounds of Summer, which is every Friday night for the whole summer. It's a pretty dynamic space.
And so we're going to talk about a lot of that dynamic space as we go along. But first, with today being Juneteenth, talk to us about Juneteenth, because, and especially you from Texas, that's really where this all originated.
Yes. So I moved to Texas in 2011, and I'd heard of Juneteenth, but it was when I got to Austin that I really started researching it, and I just fell in love. I think Juneteenth is the most important holiday, at least in my life, and I just think the stories of people who found out that they were free on that day are so powerful and so beautiful. So I'm very honored to get to share some stuff about Juneteenth today.
I know in Spotsylvania years ago, there were occasionally be programs, but I didn't really understand it until really just a few years ago.
Yes, I think it's been really beautiful as, somebody who was living in Texas to see Juneteenth spread across the whole country. There were celebrations in Texas when I was there, but it's been so exciting to see these other celebrations pop up all over the country and see people really digging into the history and learning.
So talk about it. What makes it so special?
Yes. So on June 19th, 1865, that's the day that General Gordon Granger came to Galveston, Texas, and he announced that the enslaved people in Texas were free. So that was over 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation had been issued. So that's really the last place where enslaved people were officially free in the United States. And so every year on June 19th, people in Texas started celebrating freedom. They called it Emancipation Day or Jubilee Day. It's been a part of Texas culture for a long time, and now it's part of American culture.
What was it like for them to find out?
It's incredible. The thing I do every single Juneteenth is I read the narratives of people who found out that they were free. There's a man named Felix Haywood who was living in Texas. He was interviewed in the 1930s. And he says that people started moving immediately. And then he says something like they started looking for freedom like it was a city or a place. And it's just so beautiful to read about that moment for people. And of course, it wasn't all perfect. There were a lot of still very difficult things that were happening, but that moment when people found out that they were free is it can't be overstated how exciting that was.
Now it changes everything.
Yep.
And you just wonder, and I try to put myself in that situation. What would you do first?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think first they celebrated.
Yeah.
But then one thing that I think is less known about the years following Juneteenth is that enslaved people tried to find their family members from whom they'd been separated. So there's this thing called a Lost Friends ad. So newspapers across the country ran these ads where people who were formerly enslaved were searching for the people from whom they'd been separated. And there are actually some from Fredericksburg. You'll see them. There's like an amazing database that has them, but it'll be people who are like, I'm searching for my mother. She was sold in Fredericksburg 10 years ago. I don't know where she is now, but maybe she'll see this ad and she'll contact me. I'm in Georgia. And they're so devastating, but they're also so beautiful and so powerful.
Wow. We don't think of those kinds of things.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Wow. And when word got to Galveston, I mean, it was late. Well, I mean, they'd actually been free for a while.
Yes. I mean, the Emancipation Proclamation was issued in 1863. This is 1865.
Yeah.
So it's over 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, but it's even 2 years after the war had already ended. And so there are rumors that, you know, enslavers were purposefully trying to keep the news from enslaved people. And I also think it's important to note, enslaved people probably knew. There was a very robust network of enslaved people talking to each other and sharing news. So Booker T. Washington writes about when emancipation came to Virginia, he was enslaved in Virginia. He said, we knew it was coming, but we were still really excited when it finally got there.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to note, these weren't passive people just waiting. They knew it was coming.
Boy, just the whole mindset to go from slave to free. It really is an Independence Day.
It is. And, you know, the narratives from that time people are overjoyed. But there's a lot of scary things happening, too. Enslavers who refuse to let people go. There's some violence. But I think, you know, as a symbolic moment for us, it's really important. And for a moment that could have been wholly transformative, it's really important to them, and they're the ones that I think of on Juneteenth.
Yeah. And I would think now, because it's only been a few years since it's become a national holiday, that this will become more refined as we go along, and there will be they'll get to the point where there will be celebrations that you can always depend on. That's the area Juneteenth celebration.
Yes, and I also think it's fun because even back in the late 19th century, people are celebrating Juneteenth in lots of different ways. There's baseball games, there's barbecues, there's poetry readings, there's Miss Juneteenth pageants. So I kind of like that every city, every state has their own version of a celebration.
Yeah.
They're doing the different things that are exciting for them. You know, in Fredericksburg on Saturday, there was a big celebration at the Frednad Stadium. And then tonight I'm doing a talk. So, you know, you can choose how you want to celebrate, too.
We're going to take a quick break, come back. We're going to talk about that talk tonight because that over at the Food Co-op looks like it will be really interesting. Dr. Gayla Sims with the Fredericksburg Area Museum here. Quick break. We'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. Fredericksburg Museum and Dr. Gayla Sims here, the curator of African American history and special projects. It is a Juneteenth. You mentioned just before the break, Dr. Sims, about you being involved tonight at a program at the Fredericksburg Food Co-op. This looks really interesting. It's kind of what it looks like, a panel discussion.
Yes. So I gave a talk at the Fredericksburg Food Co-op in February for Black History Month, and it was just me. So when I was talking to the organizers over there for Juneteenth, I said, why don't we have a kind of conversation with some community members so it's not just me talking by myself? So I am very honored and excited because I get to talk alongside Mr. Sonny Holmes, who is a neighborhood historian. He lives in Mayfield. He's lived in Fredericksburg for 76 years. And he'll be opening up the talk. And then we'll have my good friend, Alexa McNeil, who is, she works at the museum with me, and she is also from the Mayfield neighborhood, and they're both such valuable resources for African-American community history. And then I'll finish it up with some talk about the kind of wider celebration of Juneteenth.
That is from 6 to 7 tonight at the food co-op, and especially on this day, and just the three of you have all such different stories to be able to share.
Yes, I'm very proud of this kind of group of people because I think Mr. Holmes has so much knowledge about the local Fredericksburg community. Alexa will be talking more about Virginia celebrations of Emancipation Day, and then I'll come in and talk about the kind of national story of Juneteenth. And so people will be able to get kind of a local and then a state and then a national story all surrounding the kind of story of Juneteenth.
It's really interesting to see and just even to think about how Juneteenth and this whole story is going to be developing over the next few years, because like we said earlier, it really is all coming together in the stories, and you're really good at bringing out stories and making this more than just this happened. This all affected people.
Yes, I call myself a story forward curator instead of an object forward curator, because I'm obsessed with stories. I'm obsessed with individual stories. I think the best way to get people to care about history is to tell them about a person who lived in the past and explain how the kind of larger trends in history affected their life. And so that's how I do all of my work. But specifically around Juneteenth, that's how I talk about it.
Well, and to talk about it in the sense when you talked about the Lost Friends ad, something like that, and when you can talk about how someone, just the thought of, looking for a family member, and maybe they found them and maybe they didn't, and in all of that, and how heartbreaking that is, and just how personal all of this is.
It's so personal, and I think the Lost Friends ads are really fascinating to me because, if you got separated from a family member today, you could Google them. You could try to find them.
Right.
But back then, there's no Google, there's no internet, there's no planes. And so, there's those barriers that make it hard to find somebody. But then there's the added barriers that are legacies of enslavement, which is a lot of people can't read or write. They don't even know what the name of their family member might be, because enslavers would change people's names at whims. They have no idea where they are because, again, enslavers would move people around whenever they felt like it. So there's these added barriers to find your family members that I think if we really think about it now in 2023 are even more devastating.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. You just think that this, in some ways there's just no way to find out. Or if someone passes away and no one knows who to contact, or like you said, even knows a name or who they really are.
Yes. And I mean, we've heard some stories of people who are able to find each other, and they're using that, like I said earlier, that robust network of people talking and chatting with each other and sharing information that way. But it is really, it's hard to imagine a lot of people were able to find the people that they were looking for.
And that's just, they're on so many levels, just how hideous slavery was. Mm-hmm. And that's one of them.
Yes. I mean, I think it's really important to think about Juneteenth as this moment where people were finally free. But then you also have to think about, okay, but what didn't change with Juneteenth? What are people still grappling with? And that's one of them. There's also the issue, enslaved people have no money. They have no clothing. They have no possessions. They have no land. And so how do you build a life when you literally have nothing? And up until that point, you'd been treated as an object yourself. And so, people were able to build lives, but some people really struggled. And so Juneteenth is also an opportunity to think about, okay, what happened in those years right after enslavement ended? And how do you build a life?
You think about it, if somebody's in a Fredericksburg or in a city, you might have a few more things at your disposal as opposed to being in some rural county or some rural area, and where do you go?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's stories of people who are in cities where they were able to save a tiny bit of money when they were enslaved. And so they're able to start, you know, moving around a little bit easier than somebody who's on a rural plantation in Virginia or in Louisiana. And so that's where, you know, the system of sharecropping comes in. But that's a long other story.
Right. Yeah, that's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show for us. Dr. Gayla Sims here this morning with the Fredericksburg Area Museum. On this note, and when we talk about Juneteenth and freedom, John Washington is a name known in this area, and a pretty significant event taking place in the area this Wednesday that the community can take part in.
Yes, so the city is unveiling a new historical marker for John M. Washington on Princess Anne Street in front of the restaurant Foodie. And it's so exciting because John M. Washington is one of the most fascinating stories from the Fredericksburg area.
That story, and I'm trying, is it was I Was a Slave? Is that the name? What was the
a
name of
A Slave No More.
A Slave. What a, it's a book worth getting. I have it on Kindle, so you can get it on Kindle. You can get a hard copy of it, but it's a story that everyone should read.
Absolutely. I actually just reread it yesterday because I was thinking about it and I missed it. It's only about 50 pages.
Yeah.
It won't take you very long, but it's so compelling and you'll learn so much about it, what it was like here in Fredericksburg to be an enslaved man in the 1850s.
He was so articulate in describing things, mm-hmm. and it changed my whole thinking. I never considered the movement and the separation of families and just the way, just the treatment of people, mm-hmm. of a person until I read that book.
Yes, I think it's fascinating because, you know, he was never formally educated. Of course, enslaved people weren't allowed to learn to read or write at that time. His mom taught him his letters, he says. But he is able to describe his experiences in this beautiful language. And it's just an incredible read. But it's also, I mean, it's not fun, but it's engaging. You mm-hmm. get really into the story. It doesn't feel like you're reading, you know, a really boring history book.
No.
It feels like you're reading somebody just telling you their life.
Like you said, when I first read it and I got to the end, it was like, no, I want to know more. And it's just so heartbreaking when he gets separated from his family. And I think it was family, his mother would like moved to, was taken to Orange or somewhere mm-hmm. over there. And it's just, oh, it really, like I said, it really gives you a different feeling of what slavery was really like.
Yes, and actually, I believe that a member of the community will be reading that passage from when he gets separated from his family at the unveiling on Wednesday. I think that passage is really powerful, but my favorite passage is when he's finally free, and he says, "It was Good Friday, indeed the best Friday I had ever seen."
Yeah.
It's so beautiful the way he articulates it.
It is. Mm-hmm. He talks about seeing the Union soldiers and going to meet them. Mm-hmm. And, it really, and just the feeling of some Fredericksburg residents that weren't happy
yes.
about what was happening.
No, he talks about how he basically had to tell his enslaver that he was going to come see her. She'd flee the city because the Union soldiers were coming. And he says, "Okay, I'll meet you in the country." And then instead he goes and joins the Union Army.
Yeah.
Because he had to be tricky, a little bit tricky, in order to finally find his freedom.
Well, to have it on Princess Anne Street there by Foodie, because that's where he was.
Yes, absolutely. He was enslaved to a woman who lived above the restaurant that's now Foodie. So on the second floor of the National Bank building. And it's just so powerful that, you know, that restaurant is black owned, but also that now there's going to be a marker there so that whenever people walk down that street, they'll be able to think about Mr. John M. Washington.
Oh, I am really excited about this. It's going to be unveiled again on Thursday and the community's welcome.
Yes, the community is welcome. It's going to be really lovely. We're going to have some speakers. I'll be talking a little bit about John M. Washington's life and story. We'll have lots of amazing people speak, and then we'll go out, we'll unwrap the marker, and then I think that there's a reception of Foodie, which if you're from Fredericksburg, you know that that's very exciting.
That is very exciting. That is very exciting. This starts at what? Is it 1 o'clock?
I believe it's 1 o'clock. And yeah, I think we're starting in the church that's next door
yeah.
For the speaking portion. And then we'll go outside and stand on Princess Anne.
Now you think about this, and you think about it in terms of Juneteenth, because as we're talking about Juneteenth, I thought this just fits so well because John Washington. I mean that story in what happened in Fredericksburg. The timing is great, but the sign. I'm excited about the sign, and because I always wondered when and where would there be a marker.
Yeah. It's perfect,
and I'm sure for you, and especially, and it is kind of in that corridor with the museum too. Mm-hmm. So it's there, a lot of exciting things.
There's so many
happening
things
around here.
Yeah, I'm really excited that it's going to be right because it's basically across the street from the museum, and I go to Foodie a lot. So
perfect. Well, and you think about the Civil Rights Trail that opened and continues to be expanded, and that the people can go on that. And there's so much history in the past in this area, and some of it we're just learning or just acknowledging now. And now this is good stuff.
It is. And, you know, Fredericksburg's such a historic city, and there's so much history here. But it's been a real pleasure to be here at the moment where we're kind of leaning into some of the stories that haven't gotten shared widely before. And so, you know, that doesn't mean that we're not talking about the stories we were telling before, but now we just have a more robust offering of stories.
Yeah. When we come back, we're Dr. Gayla Sims here. We're going to talk about a program that you're involved in with Germana this week. We'll also talk about a little bit about the slave auction block and the work you've been doing on that. And there are things we could talk about for the next 2 hours. We don't have that much time, but in the next half hour, much more coming up. Dr. Gayla Sims, the curator of African American History and Special Projects with the Fredericksburg Area Museum, famva.org, famva.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's just about 8:30.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. Fredericksburg Area Museum and Dr. Gayla Sims here as we talk about things. And before we get out of here this morning, we'll talk about a number of things going on today and this week in the area that you might want to know about. June the 20th this week, you've got a program at Germana Community College.
Yes, I'm going over to Germana alongside my coworker Sarah Ernst, who's the curator of collections and exhibitions.
That's actually tomorrow, I didn't realize.
Yes, and so Sarah has done an installation of local African-American artists at Germana in conjunction with the exhibit that we have at the museum right now, which is called Scene, Viewing the Work of African-American Artists of Fredericksburg. So there's an installation there, some local African-American art. She's going to be talking more about that exhibition, and then I will be talking about Juneteenth.
That is a great exhibit, by the way. Sarah and I did a video on that if you want to check that out. But the exhibit deals with people from the past, people right now, and really fills in some gaps and talks about art in this area.
Yes, I think she did such a great job of incorporating people who, you know, lived a long time ago, people who are kind of in the middle, and then people who are living and working in this area today. I think people have been really interested in seeing some of the art. And honestly, the pieces are stunning. I mean, it's valuable as a kind of community exhibit, mm-hmm. but also just for aesthetic purposes, it's fun to look around and see some of the beautiful things that are on display.
No, it is a great, and this is where the Fredericksburg Area Museum is so good. As you walk through it, there are just things that pop up that you didn't know. And in that particular exhibit, I know Javon Kirby well. She's been in here with Downtown Greens, and we have done all kinds of videos and shows together. I didn't know she was an artist. I had no idea.
Yeah, she's super humble. I think she should toot her own horn a little bit more. But yeah, her work is really beautiful, and it's been so fun getting to know her. I think that's one of the most fun parts about working in a museum like that. You know, you get to meet people, but then you get to build really long relationships and connections with them.
It is amazing. Speaking of the connections, because the connections that you've made, Gayla, that you pop up on with all kinds of different programs and have really made yourself available and been able to tell the museum's story and been able to tell various stories like Juneteenth and others and really put them in a context in this community. You would never know that you've been here this short a time. You would have thought that, you know, you grew up here and have been in this area the whole time.
Well, I have been very privileged to have been welcomed by a lot of people in this community. And, you know, I don't take that lightly. It means a lot to me that people have been so welcoming to me. But also, a lot of this work was already done. I would never take credit for the incredible work that, you know, generations of Black folks have done here, of historians have done here to uncover these stories. And I feel like it's my job to just make them a little bit more visible.
Well, and that's the thing. You're the you've got the curator title, but in so many ways, as you've been able to tell these stories, even talking today about Juneteenth, you're a historian as far as I'm concerned.
I am. I mean, I spent a long time training to learn all that history. But, you know, I think the great thing about my training is that I get to take the training that I took, that I got, all that reading that I did, and then make it accessible and interesting for people who aren't interested in spending 6 years in grad school.
Well, and you do such a good job of making it of really personal. How did you get interested in? How did you get involved in history? Was it a family member? Was it a teacher?
It's my parents. So my dad is a community member who has a lot of connections in the town that I grew up in, Riverside, California. And my mom is a novelist. And so they both taught me to love history. They both taught me to love community. They taught me to be polite and listen. And I utilize all the skills that they taught me every single day.
I was going to say, as you just talked about those skills, I thought that really, that does really describe you. I'm sure when, as you're growing up and thinking of a career and everything out in California, coming to Virginia was not probably the furthest thing from your mind.
I always knew that I wanted to leave California and learn more about other places around the United States. And I am fascinated by the histories of the South. I mean, Virginia and Texas and everywhere in between. I feel really connected to histories of enslavement. And so living in a place like Virginia is actually exactly where I think I should be.
And just the timing that these kinds of stories and even the direction of the Fredericksburg Area Museum has slightly shifted over the last few years. You coming here was perfect timing.
It really was. You know, the museum had already been doing some work.
Yeah.
I definitely can't take credit for everything that the museum's been doing because it started well before I got here. But I think it's a really good time for me to be at the museum. It's a really good time to come visit the museum. And it's a really good time to be in Fredericksburg.
That's a really good time to join the museum, too, famva.org.
Absolutely.
If you want to do that. I first met you last fall, and I guess it was the slave auction block the first project that you jumped into when you first came here? It had been moved, and you were working on, and it's there now, of telling that story with the slave auction block.
Yes. So when I got to the museum in August 2022, there was a temporary exhibition surrounding the auction block, and so it was my first big project to build out the kind of expanded exhibition that's there now. And you know, it's funny, I got the interview for my job in April 2022, and I read everything about the auction block, and I came up with a plan for what I would do if I got the job. And then when I got the job, that's the plan I went with.
Really?
Yeah. So it feels like fate. It feels like I was meant to be the person who came here.
So is this the kind of thing when you were interviewing for the job, you sat down, you know, you laid out what your vision was?
Yeah. So I thought, okay, we would need to combine the historical research surrounding the slave trade with the documentation related to the block itself, and then make sure that there's a lot of kind of community voices represented in the exhibit. And that's what we did.
That particular, the slave auction block, there's nothing like it as far as an artifact.
It is so powerful. It is so important. And I think the most important thing about it, though, is how people think about it. You know, it's just a big rock, but it's all of our feelings and all of our all of the history, all of the kind of connections that we've made with that object that imbue it with such importance.
When it was at the corner that it was what, Charles and William Street? Is that the corner it was at? for all those years, and it was powerful there. But seeing how you set up the exhibit, it's powerful. I think probably anywhere, but it's worth seeing and going to see it at the museum.
Yes, you know, I think what was so difficult about the corner is that there's not a lot of room for interpretation. There's not a lot of room for kind of giving context at that corner. And so what we can do and what we have done in the museum is surround that object with a lot of stories and a lot of information so that it's not just sitting there by itself with no context. You can go and you can feel the context, but you can also, we've built in a reflection space so you can sit in the room and kind of think about the ancestors, think about the importance of that object, and you can kind of feel your feelings, which I think is really important.
Oh, it is. And I even hesitated just a second ago to just saying it's an artifact, because it really is a personal kind of thing. And I can't, I just wonder how I'm sure it can be emotional for a lot of people, especially African Americans who come in contact with it and maybe even know some of their family history.
Yes, I've had a lot of, especially African American elders, come and just be visibly moved, which of course makes sense. And so that is why we've been careful to make sure that there are ways that people can kind of work through those emotions. People can write down their reflections on the auction block in the exhibit, and so that they can kind of think through how they're feeling and not leave just disturbed, but leave feeling like they've learned something, but they've also shared their own experience of that block.
I can remember being on several National Park Service tours that John Hennessy and others did at that. And every time you came to that corner and stories were told, it was just silence. You could just hear a pin drop. Mm-hmm. And I think it does impact people to realize, and especially at that corner, what happened is just, it's horrific.
It is horrific. And I think there's something about the kind of physicality of the block that conjures up the kind of memories of what happened on that corner that can't be kind of, you can't miss it. It comes to you no matter your perspective or who you are. It is a really emotional object. I refer to it in my head as a living object, because it's what it was, what it is still kind of ever evolving. But I think that the exhibit, you know, I'm very proud of it. I think it does a good job of incorporating those emotions along with the kind of the history of the block itself.
I know, just to be face to face with it and looking at it and just thinking of people standing on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just how terrifying that would be for any person.
Absolutely. And excuse me. I think we can't imagine it. That's what Mr. Sonny Holmes and I talk about a lot. There's no way for us to imagine what it was like to experience being sold from a block like that. But what we can do is listen to the people who talk about their experiences. And so there are several narratives from enslaved people who describe what it was like to be sold from a block. And so those are the people that I come back to, because, again, I want to honor their experiences and their voices as much as possible.
And the fact that it was preserved, it was in Fredericksburg, and there's not many of those around. I mean, I think I remember it said that there was one in Maryland, mm-hmm. but you don't see or hear about something like that.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. My allergies are getting to me. That's why Fredericksburg's auction block is so important. There aren't a lot around. I know in Charlottesville they had one, but it's no longer at the site. There's one on the Green Hill Plantation, I think in Virginia. There's also the Slave House Museum, which is in Charleston. And then there's the Freedom House Museum, which is in Alexandria. Those were both spaces where enslaved people were bought and sold. Mm. But a block like that, in public, on a street, in front of a restaurant, that is something that, you know, is very unique to Fredericksburg.
Yeah, no, and it puts it in such a you can't get it out of your mind, and it's one thing to tell the stories, and even when you know when the when you talked about the ad, when as slaves looked, that kind of thing is disturbing. But mm-hmm. to see something like that, to see an object like that, mm-hmm. it's fortunate that it was saved all these years.
It really is, and I don't think you can tell the stories without that physical. I mean, you can tell them, yeah. but it's so powerful with that physical connection. And so I'm really grateful that the block is at the museum, and you know, I look at it every single day.
Yeah. No, and the fact that you had a plan, you appreciated it, and you knew what to do with it, mm-hmm. and to be able to tell that story. Mm-hmm. Will it always be there, or is it going to would it travel around, or would others, is that ever a possibility?
So the auction block belongs to the city of Fredericksburg. It's on long-term loan to the museum.
Okay.
So it's completely up to city council, city manager, and the city of Fredericksburg, whether or not it moves around. But we have to remember that it's 1,200 pounds. So it's not right. super easy to move it around.
Right. Well, that was the thing. When it was pulled, when they took it out, to see the pictures of mm-hmm. how it was anchored.
Mm-hmm. That thing is huge.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was that heavy
it's
either.
It's that heavy. That's actually why it's on the first floor of the museum, because when they thinking about bringing it over, the structural engineer said, don't put it on the second floor or else you'll break the floor. So that is why it's on the first floor.
So now you've done a great job, and it that alone is why I think that to me the slave auction block and the whites only sign mm-hmm. those are powerful, to look at those things, and especially to me, that sign has always been. I just look at that sign and think, it wasn't that long ago.
No.
That was you know, up,
yes,
and used.
Absolutely. And the whites only sign, which is from a restroom in Stafford County, is right next to the photograph of Miss Gay Adegbolola protesting the segregation of lunch counters here in Fredericksburg. And she's still here, and she's not very old at all. And
right.
so I think those two things being paired together shows the kind of how recent this history was, and is a really powerful kind of juxtaposition.
Dr. Gayla Sims here, the curator of African American History and Special Projects with the Fredericksburg Area Museum. What a great, I mean, any day it was going to be great to have you in, but to have you here on Juneteenth and to be able to put a lot of things in context is just great. We'll wrap this up. Dr. Sims has been doing a walking tour that is going to wrap up next week, and we're going to talk about that this morning and talk about some Juneteenth things still going on. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Gayla Sims here this morning from the Fredericksburg Area Museum. A lot of good stuff. You've been doing a walking tour. And it's been sort of focused on black businesses mm-hmm. in the area.
Yep. It's called Black Businesses and Entrepreneurship in Fredericksburg, 1787 to the present. I've done about 6 walking tours at this point, and then my last one is scheduled for next weekend, June 25th on Sunday at 11:30 a.m.
I guess you've done some research and been able to tell some pretty cool stories.
Yes, so Fredericksburg is so unique in that it has a documented history of black businesses and entrepreneurship since the 18th century. So that's 4 centuries of people who have built businesses, who've just done incredible things here in Fredericksburg. We start with John de Baptiste, who owned a wharf and ran the Falmouth Ferry in the late 18th century. We continue with the Black Business District on Princess Anne Street, the 500 block, in the mid-20th century. And then we end with some, you know, local favorites that are here right now, like Curitiba Cafe, Art Cafe, and Foodie, and Just Poppin' Popcorn. So it's really fun.
Historically, Paula Royster and I have done some programs, and she has talked about a lot of these back in history. And just how in the city and Spotsylvania, there were some former slaves that became really successful business people.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite stories is the story of James Wilkins. I won't give you too much information because it's a nice surprise on the tour.
Okay.
But basically, he was enslaved on Caroline Street, and then eventually he was freed. And he built quite a business for himself and actually made his way to the White House later in life.
Mm, what a great story that would be.
Yes, he's an incredible guy.
Again, to kind of wrap up, this being Juneteenth, and we started the show with this, and this is a significant day, and if you didn't participate in any of the things going on over the weekend, still a chance. You're tonight at you'll be at the food co-op tonight, 6 to 7.
Yes, I'm really hoping people come because I think it'll be really nice to be in community together and to be celebrating Juneteenth. And you know, you can choose all the different ways you want to celebrate Juneteenth, but I think coming and being in community with me and Mr. Sonny Holmes and Ms. Alexa McNeil will be a really nice way to do it.
And looking ahead into the future, look at what Juneteenth is, and see how you want to celebrate. This is a day that's important to all of us.
Absolutely, you know, African Americans are the ones who started celebrating the holiday, but the fact that everyone became free on this day in 1865 means a lot to every single one of us who live here in the U.S. and across the world.
Well, that's what has made you being able to talk about it on this day even more special. Tomorrow, you're at you and Sarah Ernst are at Germanic Community College with a program.
Yes, we'll be talking about Juneteenth and local African American artists, and it's going to be very fun.
And Wednesday, then, boy, this is a busy week for events. Wednesday to me is really an exciting day. And after Wednesday, you'll see a sign over by Foodie on Princess Anne Street. The story of John Washington is really a story that it's informational, but should be celebrated too.
Absolutely, I believe it is one of the most important stories from Fredericksburg, and we are very, very lucky that we have this. This man who left us his life story that we get to read and share.
It gives you, and I forgot the name. The book's name is
A Slave No More.
A Slave No More. Just a great read, and does give you a really an understanding from his own term, or, you know, his own words, about what it was like to be a slave and how difficult it was just to maintain family.
Yes, he talks a lot about how difficult it was to be away from his mother when he was a child, and it's really powerful and compelling, but it's also really beautiful because we know that he became free and then he was able to build his family after enslavement ended.
Yeah, because what, he moved up to Washington, D.C.? Mm-hmm. Is that where he was?
Yep, he lived in D.C. for a long time, and then he retired to Massachusetts and lived with some of his kids.
And then Black Businesses and Entrepreneurship next Sunday, the 25th, next Sunday?
It'll be Sunday, 11:30 a.m.
And so you've been a busy person.
It's all fun, so it doesn't feel like busy.
Well, a lot of things even coming up besides all of this, so look forward in the days ahead of you and I getting together and talking about this. And again, if people want to find out more and get involved with the Fredericksburg Area Museum, famva.org.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Kayla Sims, Curator of African American History and Special Projects, thank you so much for what you're providing the community and sharing with us, and look forward to doing much, much more in the future.
Yes, me too.
That is it. Thank you for listening. Happy Juneteenth. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.